on doing that in the world. And more or less. And so that's what we're to be participating in. And we're all gifted. Each of us are gifted to participate. We know 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that we need each other to do our part. You need us. We need you. All of the way you would look at that. And each one has its own role. Each one has its own gift. Nobody's small. Nobody's big. We're all working together in this, and each play a part. And don't get down on yourself if you don't play a significant part. Don't lift yourself up if you play a significant part. He tells us in all of that, because God is at work in it all, and we're to just be humbly serving God and participating in what he is doing. Now, we acknowledge that Christ is really the one building his church. I'm not building Christ's church. Christ is building his church. We're just submitting to his part that he's given us, whatever that might be. If you want to take it in the building phase, the nail or the hammer or the saw. I thought about bringing up a circular saw up here today. And I was working on it at home and getting a big piece of that plywood, that press board, right? And when you stick that dull blade in that, right, it really screams loud and all of this sawdust goes everywhere. It's kind of like participating in building the church family. We throw a lot of sawdust around, don't we? Right? And sometimes we have to, you know, put a couple of boards together and get them, you know, and because we need a little more backing there so the nail or screw will hold and all of that kind of stuff. So many analogies that we can use. But it's such a wonderful thing that we're talking about today. See, we're joining in on what he's doing. That's what we're doing. You know, Christ is building his church. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. Christ came to do what the Father had instructed him to do and asked him to do, to lay his life down, to bring salvation here. And Christ said nothing was going to stop from him building his church. And so when we think about what we're thinking about today and we're applying this, what we're doing is we're joining in the Lord in what he's doing. And each of us have a part. You know, it's like back in the day when they had a good barn raising. You know, and everybody would come over and they'd raise that barn, and you know, it was a community project ministering to somebody. We are joining in Christ in him building of his church. The growth of salvation, the growth of sanctification. That's what we're doing. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We don't want to labor in vain. We don't want to do good things. We don't want to just, you know, let's add some people. Let's make some things happen. That's not the focus here. That's not what it is. We're joining in what the Lord is doing, and we understand that he is guiding and leading us, because unless he builds it, we're just building something that's in vanity. And we don't want that. We don't want any part of participating in that. So this is not our project, but his. 1 Corinthians 3:9-10, I love that passage. We are God's fellow workers. The foundation has been laid in Jesus Christ, his truth, who he is. That's the building. And he says Paul writes, we must be careful on how we build upon it. We must be careful on how we build upon what Christ has built, the foundation of his church, his truth. Honoring him, his truth, his word, his way, not our way, not what makes the world happen, but how Christ builds his church family. So as we would look back and we think about this, it's been our goal to join in with the Lord and what he is doing in the hearts of all of us. And that will be our focus always as we go forward. That's going to be our kind of our guide, that we're joining in what the Lord wants to do, praying about that and seeing him and how he wants us to minister to each other. So it will be our focus as we go forward. So now we have this little special thing that we do on annual meeting. Pastor Tom's going to come up, and he's going to show us a slideshow. It's like 15 minutes long, but what it does is it looks back on how God has been working in this body of Christ, and I'll let Tom kind of introduce that and then share that with us.
Well, you know, when you have an annual meeting, you could have all the ministry heads come up and try to describe what's happened in their ministry, and you never have quite enough time, and you don't quite have enough words. But kind of the thought behind this is a picture is worth 1,000 words. So I got 194,000 words here I want to share with you in the next little while. And there's no way, even in this day of technology, where you can have a camera or a picture, you know, of every single thing that's happening. So some ministries that are very significant are not included. So well, I had pictures, they're included. So we're going to turn the lights down and have a little music and then just kind of take a look at some of the things we have.
So what's equipping? What's he talking about here? You know, if this is the pattern for growth, this is the pattern of how God has for us in our lives and as a church. The pattern here of equipping, what is equipping? The word is a medical term in the original language. It means to setting in place like a bone. And so look at it this way. First, we're always to be setting in place truth. You can't serve and you really can't grow if it's not really truth. That's what we're setting in place in our heart and mind. As we would teach any Sunday school class, or we would teach Awana, or we would teach the youth on Sunday morning, or we do the preaching that's on Sunday, whatever it is what we're trying to set in our heart and mind is God's truth, God's word, what it's about. It teaches us how to live. It teaches us what to live for. It teaches us how to honor the Lord with our lives, what to participate in, and what part that we play in. It's God's truth, God's word. That's what we have to set in place in each one's lives. Now, God has set out the order for that. He has brought it together. Christ gave to the church pastors, teachers. He sets out leadership, but they're no more of a part than you are a part. They're just playing the part that God has for them. And it's so that they make focus that we're being equipped, that we're setting in place God's truth. Colossians 1:28 would say it this way, that we proclaim Christ, admonishing every person and teaching everyone so that we may present everyone complete in Christ. We labor and strive toward that. So it's our focus. It's the pattern for the building. It's what we need to do. We need to set in place. It has to be what God says. And what God says is his truth and how it works and what we're to be living for, like I said, and all that we're to be doing. So the first part of the pattern is that. Is to be equipped. We need to set in place what is God's truth and continually do that in our heart and mind. Second part, so all of us can see and understand each part of the serving. That's what he's talking about. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service. So we all understand what the serving is. So we all start participating in the serving. So we all start ministering to each other. The entire church is to be aggressively involved in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. we're setting that, equipping each one of us with God's word, God's truth, and God may grow you into a teacher or a leader in some way, or a deacon or an usher or whatever it might be, but God is doing all of that, and if so, then we all have an understanding of that we're to be doing the works of service, we're to be ministering to each other in whatever capacity that might be. 1 Peter 4:10 says it, to be employed at serving one another as good stewards of God's manifold grace. So if we look at this, the third thing is building up. Here's the pattern on how we build, is to equip, to serve, and build up Christ's church. Helping each other grow, growing faith, helping each other serve, helping each other in our life, building each other up in God's truth on how to be all that God would ask us to be, whether it be a parent or a spouse or a friend or a Christian at work or whatever it might be. But that's the pattern of the building that God has for us. He says it right in here. The equipping of the saints, that's me and you, that's all of us, that's the body of Christ, for the work of service, to be doing the duty, the work of serving whoever what God would have us serve, whether it be each other or the lost or in whatever capacity of this, to the building up of the body of Christ, or we're being to be built up, to be maturing, always changing. You're equipping, you're serving, you're growing. People may move into leadership roles, people may move into serving roles, they may move into teaching roles, then they can change out of those. I brought that up because, you know, how many of you serve in the nursery or have served in the nursery? Give me a show of hands. Okay, the rest of you are in trouble. No, not really. But, you know, I went over that last year, and I saw that 54 adults were serving in the nursery last year. But it's pretty similar to what it is this year. The nursery ministry is vital to the church. That we take care of the children that are here and whatever means that is necessary in that, and whether so the parents can come to Sunday school, or so whether the parents can come to the worship service on Sunday, or if it's even in a class that they're going to go to and that kind of thing. We're ministering to the children, which ministers to the entire family. You know, the leadership there changes. Others move in, others move out. We need some leaders in that right now. But that's the life of the church. You know, most positions in the church ministry, there are some that people commit to and then they do it for a long, long time. But most of them continually just the transition of moving from someone was in it to someone else comes in it. And it's God's work in our life. It's God's ministry in our life and what God's doing. And you don't get like, everybody's set, and then everybody stays there, and then everything's okay for the next 25 years. It doesn't work like that in the body of Christ. Because God is moving us and using us in different manners. Pastor Craig is going to be talking to the seniors just about, you know, at this time of life and what God may be guiding and leading them to do. We need to think in that manner and ask the Lord, you know, what may he be equipping me to do in service and that would build the church up, the body of Christ, or other people in a way, since when you're a little older, you might have a little more free time. And maybe a little more free space, too. So that's what we're talking about today. You know, we're looking back and seeing that God has done all of this and continues to do all of this, and we're going along with the pattern of the building. Yes, we all participate, and here's the pattern. We're to be equipped. We got to continually be equipped with God's truth. And he's going to be changing and asking you and guiding you in the work of service on how you're going to be ministering to the church family and whatever dynamic that is, and he's going to be using you to build each other up. Then to build his church, sanctification, salvation, that's what Christ is doing. We are to participate in that pattern, equipping, serving, building up. At this time, I'm going to ask David Henderson from the finance committee. He's going to come up and he's going to share with us the finances of the body of Christ. It's all part of this God's work in our life, and so David's going to share with us.
Thank you,
on the finances.
I have to start off by sharing with you that I was asked, where's Debbie? And she's working the nursery in Atascadero. Our third granddaughter arrived on the 29th, so Annabella Grace was welcomed home by... So she's thrilled. I'm wondering. You know, there's some dry parts to the finance committee, and the dry parts are that we deal with the dollars and the cents and the finances of the church, but it's really exciting to see the spiritual aspect of the finance committee. And so we meet the second Tuesday at 6 in the morning here at the church every month. Past year's members, Elder in Charge Dwayne Hilty and Keith Hansen, Lance Hyder and David Henderson, and you don't have to have an H in your name to serve on the finance committee. So the the real heavy lifting is done by Chairman Andy Reinsberger and by Ken Snyder, who compiles all the numbers. And they do a tremendous amount of work that nobody sees, and I'm very appreciative of Ken and Andy for doing that. If you look in the church bulletin, there's generally an announcement. And if you just take the snapshot of this, the last numbers, it really doesn't tell the whole story. But you see that our budget is somewhere in the neighborhood of $300,000. And in the finance aspect of that, the finance committee reviews the finances, looks at the allocations that are presented to them by different members of the body in the different areas of service. There are a couple of outside members that in the past have come in and helped kind of audit also the finance committee. So those members of the church look at things in a different way than we do, and that's just to try to keep a lot of eyes on that. We have a reserve that we have determined to be about 3 months. If everything stopped today, we would be able to go forward for about 3 months, and that's what we have in the CDs. The intent of the Finance Committee is not to store or hoard money, and it was out of the heart of the Finance Committee that we have decided that we really are a serving ministry in those areas. One of the examples would be the church building in Mexico that was presented to the Finance Committee. It was presented in three phases, and if you remember, it was three $5,000 phases. And the heart of the Finance Committee didn't come up with a number, but we decided that, you know, if we're really going to commit to our family in Mexico, what third of the house are we going to stop at? So it was fairly unanimous. I think it was also affirmed by the elders that we were going to commit to finishing the church in Mexico that Tom showed in the dedication. And in our imperfection, you might say there were some cost overruns. The fun aspect of watching how God works in our hearts and how you as your body respond is that our heart was to complete the church, and we came in with an abundance of finances above and beyond what was necessary to build the church. And that's the exciting part of serving on the church ministry is it's dry when there's numbers and you have to look at numbers and you worry and we wait all year and then, boy, you look at what happened in December and again, it's in an abundance. And so I would encourage you to give thought to how this plays out to you in your own life. And, you know, which dollar was the most important in that church building? The first dollar or the last dollar? Really all of them, because it doesn't get done if we don't start, and it's not right to not finish. And I just appreciate the work in the heart of the church. And if you were able to participate in that financially, then, you know, that's one aspect of it. But there's also the aspect of the prayer that goes into the year-round service of the church. And so there are two areas in the book of Mark that I had looked at that I wanted to share with you. You know, we can all have money problems, whether we have a lot of money or a little bit of money. And Christ had addressed with him, and I pulled out that Mark because I was following Pastor Ken in Ephesians, so let me get back to it. You know the story of the rich young ruler in Mark, and it's in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And as he was passing, or as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up to and knelt before him and asked him, "God, a good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answered him, and it's interesting, these are the parts of the Ten Commandments. What do you call me? Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandment, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, nor defraud. Honor your father and mother. And And he said to him, you have to forgive me. You guys, some of you know my eyes have been damaged from the illness from last year, so it's a lot slower reading. And it's not a matter of focus. It's just a matter of being able to pull the letters off the white page. Teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth. And Jesus then talked to the one about the heart, looking at him, and he loved him. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had many possessions. And then let's turn to the other teaching. It's in 12:41. It talks about the widow's offering. And he sat down opposite the treasury. This is talking about Christ. And he watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make it a penny. And he called his disciples to him. We call that a teaching moment. And he said to them, truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing in the offering box, for they have all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. And so the aspect of this from the finance committee is to encourage us as a body. Christ doesn't need our money. He wants our hearts. And so the encouragement that I have for you is that there is diligence on the part of your servant leaders, whether it be the members of the finance committee or the elders, to be responsible to you as a body. And I think that the message would be that as God hears our desires and he sees our hearts, he rewards us in these areas, even in our imperfections. That what a blessing it is to build a house for, under $30,000? A complete house for people that didn't have one. So with that, and then all the other aspects, the full financial package is available to anybody who is curious. It's kind of an awkward thing if you work for the church because your finances are out and exposed before the church. So just that is a courtesy that we extend to you as a body to show you that we're open and transparent. And again, I want to commend both Ken Snyder and Andy Reinsberger for the tremendous amount of work they do on the Finance Committee. And again, we're available if you have questions, or you can show up the second Tuesday at 6 in the morning here at the church. Thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you, David. We certainly are blessed by the Lord and all of the servants that work in with the finances and keep track of that and spend their time doing that. And those reports are back there on the hospitality table. If you are wanting to know the details of each expense and that kind of thing in next year's budget, they're back there for you if you desire for them. So let's kind of wrap this up with the purpose of the pattern. You know, we've looked at that we participate in the building of God's church, and then there's a pattern to the building that we've looked at. Now let's look at verse 13 through 15 and look at the purpose. Just quickly on this, look at verse 13 through 15 in Ephesians, but so Paul writes this, until we all attain the unity of faith of the knowledge of the Son of God to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitfulness scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, that's Jesus Christ, who is the head. So he gives us the purpose here. He tells us the purpose of all of this. What's the purpose? It never stops. You know, this purpose never stops. It's not like we arrive. He says until the unity of the faith. The faith there means unity in what we believe together about Christ and about his truth. That's what he's talking about. Not faith of our faith in believing and our faith in the unity in what we are believing, the truth of God, that we would come together in our mind and heart. 1 Corinthians 1:10 really would talk about it like that. It's coming together, continually equipping us, doing the work of service, building us up until we all attain the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's intimacy he's talking about. That's an intimate relationship of knowing Christ, personal relationship with the Lord. That would be the purpose of all of this, for us to be together in what we're believing and seeking an intimate relationship with Christ. And then he says this, he says, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, spiritual maturity. To seek to walk life like Jesus walked his life. That's what we're the purpose of what we're doing. And then he says, sound doctrine. As a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and here, there by trickery of deceitfulness of men and trickery of scheming and thrown around by every wind of doctrine. God wouldn't want us to be thrown around like children on stuff that's not true. That doesn't please the Lord in any shape or means. So the purpose of what God is doing in building his church and using us to participate in it and then giving us a pattern on how to do it, the purpose would be so we have a unity of faith, an intimate relationship with Christ, a spiritual maturity founded on sound doctrine. And then verse 15, what a wonderful way to kind of bring that together. He says it this way, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. To have an authentic, loving testimony. That's what he's talking about there. That's what our desire is. That's the purpose of what God is doing in us in the church and what we're going out for and working toward. We want to say, speak, hold out to each other what is true in real love and caring love, in God's love to each other and even to the lost in a gentle, humble, patient way, laying down our life for each other, loving the way God loves, truth, so we would grow in every way in aspects to Christ that begins at salvation, that continues on in your life and through sanctification. And as a church family, that's what we want to be doing. We want to be holding out love and holding out God's word, God's truth, both of them. We want to hold that out to the lost. We want to hold out God's truth, but we got to love them. Because that's how you do that. You hold it out. And then each one of us in our lives, as we would with each other, that's the ministry of the church. Patient, caring, loving. So that we all grow in every way to be more like the Lord that we love. That's our focus as we go forward. That's our focus each and every year. That's what we're doing. That's what it's about. So as we would evaluate and as we would look back, yes, we are human beings. Yes, we are people and we have the hiccups and the things that we stumble over and God is working through all of those things. But it is our focus, and it will be our focus. And we'll participate in what Christ is doing. That's going to be our focus. And that would be verse 16. From whom? Think about that again, verse 16. From whom? From Christ. The whole body, that's you, okay? And he has us connected like a body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. By the power of Christ, that's what he's doing in our life. So as we close our service, everybody hungry? I'm kind of hungry. How about you guys? Oh, be humans. Okay, say yes, we're hungry. Yes. Arr. You know, how did Tim the Tool Man Taylor do that? Arr, you know, that kind of thing? Yeah, that kind of thing. That's what we're going to be doing here in a moment. So let's take a moment here. Let's quiet our hearts and go before the Lord and thank him for everything in this past year that he's been doing in your life and in the church's life. And then let's pray for as we would go forward, not knowing what it might bring. We're thankful for each and every day, but it surely is in God's sovereign hand. Let's go before the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we approach you and who you are and in humility, we're just participating in what you are doing. None of this is ours. This church isn't ours. This pulpit isn't mine. Really, the things we have aren't ours. You've come and you've rescued us. You've saved us through the truth of Christ, and you've brought us into the family of God and called us your church and set out a purpose for your church. And we want to hold lightly the things that are here, for they all are yours, and you've given them to us. Even our children, in the passage that we read today. We just want to be stewards over all that you have blessed us with, from salvation through everything in this life. We want to handle it rightly. We want to use it that honors you. We want to teach our children the truth of Christ. We pray for them to be a testimony of what salvation looks like and that they would honor you with their life. We seek you in our relationships at home and through our families and in our marriages and in this church family. Thanking you for you got us this far so far. This is where you have brought us as Living Word Fellowship. We're trusting in you, looking to you, believing in you for what you want to do with us, Lord. We just want to join in. You have provided for us, Lord. You have provided for us to minister to many different sister churches, to give to many different mission work. You're teaching and training us how to penetrate our community through the VBS project of ministering to water to our community in many other ways, Lord. We are open to what you want to do, Lord, and use us for. But first and foremost, we come thanking you for all that you are and all that you've been this year. And come before you praying that we would have sensitive hearts to your instructions, sensitive hearts to your leading individually, Lord, with just the people around us to encourage somebody in Christ or to serve one another in a way that this meets a need, whatever that might be. But sensitive to what you're asking us to do as your church. What we may be a part of. For we don't know tomorrow. We don't know the end of this year, but you do, Lord. And so guide and lead us to where and what you desire for us, Lord. Use us mightily in building of your kingdom. Grow us, Lord, to be more like you. That takes repentance and confession and forgiveness. All things that you're doing in our life. Help us to be obedient to your word, faithful to your spirit, to be loving people of Christ in our community. I thank you for the family of God that I belong to, for the friends and connections of people that care about me that are here. I know all of us do, Lord. Grow them to go deeper and wider and help us reach out to those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Thanking you for today's potluck. Amen.